Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined as ever by Mr. Andy Holding to look ahead to the action at Cork on Thursday. Not the strongest card, but I've just been speaking to Andy off air and he assures me that he's got some pretty strong fancies, so that's a good thing. And hopefully we can bag you a winner or two. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Alex.
How are you?
Good, yeah. I'm really looking forward to this card today. And that was a huge carryover as well. I think it's a pick six or jackpot there today. So I might be even tempted to have a go at that because some of the races I think will take a bit of finding. But hopefully I've managed to unearth a few ones at bigger prices that I wouldn't have thought too many would have spotted.
Okay, good to hear because at first glance the card looks a little bit tricky. There's a lot of runners in a lot of the races. But I suppose a lot of them you could rule out, couldn't you? There isn't... in some of them in particular there's some that just don't have any form, so I suppose it's picking the ones that do have a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean the handicaps are tough. I mean there's no hiding from that fact, but the two conditions races or the one conditions race in the maiden look fairly straightforward. I wouldn't think there'd be too many too many horses to include into your thought process. So if we can get through the handicaps, then the rest of it should be straightforward.
Okay, well, we'll kick things off with the 2:45. It's a maiden hurdle over 2 miles, where Shamsikan is a pretty warm order at the head of affairs for Willie Mullins and Paul Townend. And this is one of those races where it's just finding something to oppose him, really, and there isn't much, is there?
I like the shape of this race. I know Shamsikan's going to be a warm order, quite rightly so, in many respects. He's had a couple of runs, and that run at Listowel beyond Manella Faru reads really well. Slightly flattered, I suppose, to finish so close to a horse who's gone on to better things. He had his limitations exposed next time out when he was favoured at Leopardstown in probably a better maiden than this, in all honesty. It was won by Paul Nolan's His Love Alive. But combination of a bad mistake two out and not really staying the trip was the final nail in his coffin after he also fluffed his lines at the last. Dropping back to 2 miles should be fine. I'm not absolutely convinced that he wants ground as bad as this. But that said, this is a golden opportunity for him because opposition is very thin on the ground, as you say. He's just not the kind of horse I like backing at 8 to 11, 4 to 6. You know, I could let him win at that price. And because he is so short, it means that the second and third favourite in the betting are going to be backable each way. I think there's only three you can really fancy. And the other two are Easter Hunt and Bal Bachelor. And they were fourth and fifth, respectively, in quite a good race down in Gowran the other day, won by Blow the Doors Off, who finally got off the mark. But it was a very good time, and the circuit time was very good as well. So I do think Bal Bachelor and Easter Hunt shouldn't be underestimated here. It depends on which one you wanted to back from an each-way perspective. Of the two, obviously, Bal Bachelor at 13-2 would appeal to most, because Easter Hunt, obviously, 7-2, 4-1. You'd lose a little bit of money if he was only to finish second or third. With that in mind, I will go for Bal Bachelor, having already finished in front of Easter Hunt. Either way, I think he'll be in the frame. And that's the way I want to play this race. So Bal Bachelor each way, a decent starting point in the first.
Okay, Bal Bachelor the pick there in the 2:45. Next up is the 3:20 hurdle race over 2.5 miles. Strongest race on the card, this one, Andy, in terms of the quality of horse, at least. Joint favourites at the time of recording, Rebel Fitz and Tala. Rebel Fitz drifting, Tala being backed, and Tala looking to follow up her victory in this race last year.
Yeah, when she beat Rebel Fitz, I think that's the important thing to say. And Rebel Fitz, as we know, is probably the best horse in this race. But all Rebel Fitz's best form, largely, is on a much better surface than this. Most of the time, when he wins and wins impressively, he's got good to firm ground to run on. He's ostensibly a summer jumping horse, not class-wise. I think he deserves to be rubbing shoulders with the very best. because he's a horse rated 155. The problem is middle of winter when he's up against the best, he often gets soft or heavy ground, which then obviously detracts from his overall chances. So Mickey Winters probably has to map out a plan between sort of spring all the way through to the end of autumn, you know, which is likely to take in the likes of the Galway Plate, etc., etc. This is a fair enough starting point, but he's off the back of a break. As I said, he got beaten in this race last year when the ground was testing by Tyler. And I don't think Mickey Winters will probably have him fully tuned up for his first run. So even though he's 11-8 this morning and probably a worthy favourite if this race is, say, 3 or 4 months down the line, he's one to oppose today because I don't think he can win. And that brings in the two Mullins horses, Tyler, and of course, who won the race last year, and Upsea, and to a degree, Joxer, as the main three to contend with here. I think Tyler's probably going to be my selection based on that win here last year when she scored in a very fast time and outstayed Rebel Fitz. I think she'll certainly get the better of her old rival here. She was a bit disappointed in the last day of offences at Nace, but for one reason or another, she just didn't fire. Perhaps it was going left-handed, which was the negative for her that day. Most of her wins, in fact, all of her wins have come on a right-handed circumference. Just don't think she handles going left-handed as well. So back to her conditions, i.e. 2.5 miles soft ground, hurdles. I think Tyler will probably be the one to be with here, ahead of Stabber Companion Upsea, who yet to really convince that she absolutely stays this trip 100%. I know she did last time out, but that was against weaker opposition. She's definitely going to be tested today, so for that reason, I'd stick with Tyler, and hopefully she can follow up last year's win.
Okay, next up is the 3:55 handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Really, really open race this. Money this morning for Ever So Much, which is interesting given connections. That's 10-3, 130 at the time of recording. But we're 8-1 bar that one, Andy. Are you going to be looking for some each-way value here?
I think so. I thought Ever So Much shaped quite well last time down in Down Royal behind Green Energy, who was not unsupported in that particular race. Got hampered at the fourth, which sort of knocked it back a bit. So did quite well in the end to finish fifth, actually weakened from two out once in with a winning chance. So dropping back to 2 miles, I think, is a good move. I certainly think that horse is respected here. I think On My Own will run quite well, or certainly better than he has done of late. He does like here at this track. Philip Fenton's horses are in good form, and he hasn't quite got the trip on his last two starts, although he has shown a little bit more than he has done in a few races early on in the season. So I can see him at double figure odds. One that I've got a little bit of a mild interest in here, and it is mild with a capital M, is a horse trained by Colin Kidd called Last Doe, who was 8th on his last start in a maiden hurdle down in Clonmel. It was taken by Bonzo Bing, who subsequently gone on to win a decent contest at Garran the other day, beating a good horse of Willie Mullins's. So to only get beat 13.5 lengths by that individual certainly suggests that he's going to be relatively competitive here off a opening handicap mark of 89. Interesting that Pirlo, who was in that race, is a lot shorter in the betting, which doesn't make any sense to me because he beat Henry de Bromhead's Charge quite comprehensively at Clonmel back on the 6th of March. So just on a pure improvement scale, on a price scale, Last Doe at 16-1 would make a little bit of each way appeal in that 3:55.
Okay, that's the 3:55. Next up, the 4:25 handicap hurdle over 3 miles. One of the better races on the card, this one, Andy, in terms of quality. And still pretty competitive, though, I think it's fair to say. Where's your attention been drawn in this one?
Yeah, several in this race do catch the eye. I see there's a bit of money for Globalise this morning, but I do think the horse is a touch one-paced, and I'm not sure we'll see the best of him until he gets good ground and fences to jump. I'm going to concentrate on the form surrounding the likes of Malt Gem, Gold Patrol, Hazariban, and Some Officer. All these four are very closely matched on the pick of their form. Malt Gem, who's the only course of distance winner in the field, courtesy of a victory over Wedding Present this time last year, probably sets the standard. He got beat last time out, or the last time they clashed behind Hazariban. And that was at Garran on the 15th of February. Now, Hazariban was very good that day because he stayed on very strongly in the latter stages. Then it's like a question mark I've got over Hazariban. Does he stay 3 miles? His only attempt over this trip was when he was well beaten in the per attempts qualifier in the race that Gold Patrol was fourth in. He's a funny one, Hazariban, because he stays on very strongly over 2.5. And you'd think for all the world that 3 miles would be absolutely ideal for him. And that's the only problem. He just hasn't got enough evidence of staying the trip to make him a really confident selection. I'd certainly stick Hazariban in my thought process here and back him along with Malt Gem. I think that's probably the way I'd go in this particular race. I think they're the main two on the figures. their form is they're very, very hard to split on several lines of form. So without overcomplicating the race and doing anything stupid, backing one over the other, I'll just take the two against the field. They're both 11-2, which works out slightly over even money for one of them winning. So Malt Gem and Hazariban are my two selections against the field in the 4:25.
Okay, next up the 5 o'clock, a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. This is one of the races that where form is thin on the ground, I think it's fair to say. The market focusing on two at the bottom of the race card in Schulemach and Spring Bell. Do you make it between those two as well, Andy?
I do, yeah. I think this is a fairly weak race, as you said beforehand, and the market's pretty much got them how I'd have them in here. Spring Bell and Schulemach, they were fourth and fifth respectively behind Roxfield the last time that they set foot on a racetrack. I thought Spring Bell came out of that race with quite a deal of credit. Having raced prominently throughout, she went all the way around the inside on the churned-up ground running the home straight, and I think that was one of the reasons why she didn't quite go forward as anticipated in the home run in the push to the line. Connections have gone for the cheek piece as well first time today, which could also instigate a little bit of further improvement. And if that's the case, then she should get the better of her old rival, Schulemach, who has been a fairly decent and consistent performer of late. The rest of them, well, they're hard to fancy. Sunny B, if you take away its last run, would have a chance, but that was such a poor run at Thurley's the last day that it's hard to get enthusiastic over that particular horse at 9-2. Bit of money for Gary Rue, I could half see that one running okay as well. But I'll stick with Spring Bell. She certainly got the right profile to take a race like this. And if she runs up to that Chancol performance the time before at Punchestown, she should be good enough.
OK, the penultimate race on the court card coming up at 5:30, a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Really open contest this one as well, Andy. West of the Edge is reasonably well fancied, heads the market at the time of recording, and I believe is one that you fancied last time out.
Yeah, I napped at West of the Edge, and once I was massively disappointed he ran his race, but he did have every chance, and whether it was just a trip or... You know, he came up against a Robert Tyner horse, who had, I think he had three winners on that card, so they were in unstoppable form that day. So I wouldn't want to hold it too much against him, but ultimately, he is still no wins in 11 runs, and, you know, you want sort of a bigger incentive to back him at maybe at 9-2, 5-1 this morning in a wildly competitive race where loads can be fancied. I think there's several in this race which are hugely and grossly overpriced and underestimated, and one of them, I'm going to make my sporting nap of the day at the prices. And the horse in question is called Special Token. Now, you look at the form figures, you think, what on earth am I doing selecting this mare who's gone over a year without a win and, you know, has got several disappointing efforts around a decent runs. But it's those decent runs, and particularly the runs at this track, which bring me to fancy this horse today quite strongly. And the fact that she's 25-1 also makes me quite excited about her chance, particularly from an each-way perspective. If you strip down her form away from Cork and you just concentrate on her track form here, when she's had soft or heavy ground over 2.5 miles, her form figures read 3-2-1-2, 3-3-2-1. So she's never been out the first three in 8 starts here at Cork when conditions are riding like they're going to ride this afternoon. Her only 2 bad runs came over 2 miles on good ground. And another one was when she was 11th off the back of a 211-day absence. So there are mitigating circumstances why she's run badly here, but it's best to concentrate on the positive and suggest that she has got her conditions and she's likely to run another huge race. Her last run was a very good one here over today's course and distance behind Avondale Lady, who was very well handicapped. But once again, Special Token ran right up to her very, very best form. And it's this track, Cork, on heavy ground, which allows her to do that. She's definitely been completely forgotten here in the market. 25-1 this morning for Special Token. An absolute giveaway from an each-way point of view. 4 places on offer. It's hard to see her not finishing in the frame, given her overall record here. And I'm going to make her say her my sporting nap of the day, Special Token, in the 5:30.
OK, Special Token at 5:30. Could be a huge price there. The final race is the 6 o'clock. It is a flat race over 2 miles where Killer Crow heads the market for the Mullins team. You can see why it is at the head of the market. But there's an interesting runner here in Celtic Silver for Eddie O'Grady, who... the form of the debut run for him has worked out pretty well.
Yeah, this is another good betting race, I think, here. The card that's littered with them, but I think they've got the prices all wrong here. And as you pointed out, I think Killer Crow's run first time out was perfectly respectable behind Windsor Park, who is trained by Dermot Weld and runs in the colours of Dr. Lambs, and he's obviously got an embarrassment of riches in that department. Silver Concord obviously took the champion bump. I think we'll probably see Windsor Park in the Punchestown version at the festival in a few weeks' time. So it wasn't a bad run by Killer Crow, but you've got to argue that Celtic Silver's run, even though it was seventh, was equally good, if not better. You know, seventh behind Shane's Hill, who was second to the aforementioned Silver Concord at the Cheltenham Festival. Joshua Lane, of course, who was second in that race, he's gone on to run a good race subsequently in Ascot. Wounded Warrior, he's won since. Riviera's Son, who was fourth, that's won. Even Chantoued, who was seventh, that's won a hurdle since. Sixth, that's won since. So it doesn't take a great deal of working out that Celtic Silver's run was equally good. And you can back this horse at 4-1 this morning with pretty much every firm. And I suggest we have a bit of each-way thievery here in a race where experience is obviously going to count for a lot. The ability to handle the ground and to run at a good pace is obviously going to count for a lot. And there's not that really that many you can fancy away from the front two or three in the market. So Celtic Silver, or Celtic Silver, whichever way you want to go, represents a really good each-way betting opportunity in the final race.
Love a bit of each-way thievery, don't
we? Oh, you can't beat it.
Lovely stuff, Andy. Best of luck with all your picks today at Cork. Let's hope that nap lands.
Well, I'll take a chance. You know,
yeah, why not?
To one. The jack might just come up. But I think whatever happens, I think she'll run a race. And at that price, there's a good chance of you making a nice profit with her.
Okay. Lovely stuff, Andy. Thank you for your time. I believe you're in William Hill Radio Studios for the next 2 days, aren't you? So
yep.
We'll hear from you then.
Should be a good weekend. Dundalk tomorrow and then Dubai World Cup Day Saturday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.